Okay, now we're on to the topic in the study of biblical doctrine. We're under the major category, pneumatology, or this doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And we've broken up the Holy Spirit study into the various actions that the Holy Spirit takes. And tonight, the last time we met, and I don't remember when that was, a month ago? we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now tonight I want to talk about the sealing Spirit. And so I want you to look up three verses, and these are the only three verses in the Bible that talk about the sealing, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, of the Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to be careful about how I say that, and I just missaid it, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Words matter, Brother Winton. Words matter. And they matter in this case. Those verses are 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, And you need to be able to get to these, because we're going to be going back and forth between them. And the third is Ephesians. Is that on the screen?
No.
Hit it, buddy. It's not. You have it on your notes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. So let's read those verses. I want us to read them, and then we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and sealing. First, to 2 Corinthians. Anybody there? Why don't you read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse, what did I say? 22. That's correct. In fact, read 21 and 22, please. Go right ahead, anybody. Just loud enough where everybody can hear it.
And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee.
Okay. So there we have the Holy Spirit and we have sealing. Now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Who has that?
Me.
Okay. And read 13 and 14, please.
Okay. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory.
Now, if you're not familiar with that translation, if that's not what you had in front of you, that is the
legacy
translation. And now to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Who's got that?
I got it.
Go ahead. All right, so I don't know how you're going to do it and take notes. We'll be slow because I don't know how I'm going to do it either. I think I have a paper clip over here somewhere. Yeah, there we go. Just keep those handy, those verses handy, okay? So these are the only three verses in the New Testament or either Testament that talk about sealing and the Holy Spirit. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament, even though one scholar, Dr. Leon Wood, tries to find it in the Old Testament. I simply, and most others, don't think he did. We don't think he finds it. So, this specific ministry that is connected to the Holy Spirit constitutes something. This sealing. It involves the Holy Spirit. But we have to be careful how we say this subject. There's a sealing that takes place, and it is us who are sealed. We haven't yet discussed what that means. Nor have we discussed how the Holy Spirit is involved in it. And all of those things, I think, matter. I think we have to especially be careful about it because there is enough evidence in the verses we've just read to indicate there's room for disagreement. Now, I don't think there's a lot of room for disagreement, but there is room. And I say that because I've studied it, and not that I'm the only one, or not that I'm unique, but having studied it, I can see where the room is, but I also see where the margins are. You can't go too far. So let's talk about the people who are sealed. Just like with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this sealing belongs to believers only. It belongs to believers only. But let me add, it belongs to all believers. This sealing that is taking place on a believer's life is for all believers. In fact, if we go back and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul doesn't make any exception. And the reason knowing a little background on the church is important is because it gives us insight, especially in verses like this, as to what the extent of something is. The church at Corinth was filled with issues and problematic people. Divided people, sensual people, arrogant people. It wasn't like Park Hills Baptist Church. It was a different kind of church. To say it had problems is to understate the issue. So keep that in mind as you look again at verse 22. And who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, tie that with verse 21. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. And He's talking about the all of us. The all of us. He, the writer, and they, the recipients. He calls them brothers throughout both letters. And especially in 2 Corinthians, he expresses deep grief. And yet, he includes them in whatever this sealing is. They all have it. They have all been sealed. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll see if you pick up on this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. Not only is that you, plural, we would say in East Texas, you all, or y'all, but who can grieve the Holy Spirit? Can a lost person grieve the Holy Spirit?
He never
Holy Spirit can't be disappointed in someone in whom he doesn't dwell. He can't be grieved. And we'll look at the grieving a little bit later, but I just simply want to point out, it seems clear that only believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and every believer is sealed with the Holy Spirit. But that raises a question. When does this take place? When does this sealing of the Holy Spirit take place? We learned last time that upon conversion, at the time of conversion, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The same is true with the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given when we believe. Now, that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because he ties it together with the gift of the Spirit. We receive the gift of the Spirit. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And in that verse, he ties it together with what he calls the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there's another verse. Now, you don't have to hold your finger at this verse. It's a verse that's often used to argue for baptismal regeneration, that baptism somehow is salvific or saving. But it's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We stop on the baptism and we don't read the rest of the verse. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we read, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins.'" But there's a comma. "And you will receive the Holy Spirit." So we receive the Holy Spirit at conversion. And that is also when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, the passage in Ephesians chapter 1 that we cited earlier can be legitimately interpreted in two different ways. And that has to do with when, and let's just look at it. It might be easier looking at it and just noting. It says in verse 13, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed." Now, the temporal verb, that is the verb that sets the time, is the main verb. And the main verb here is were sealed. Were sealed. But contained in that verse, in that sentence, is the phrase, and it's participial, adverbial participial, which has a time effect in it. It suggests that having heard. Some translations actually say, having heard and having believed in Him. So, both of them, from the standpoint of present time, seem to be past time. The question is, are they at the same past time? That's the question. I fall in the camp that believes they are. They are at the same time. And I fall into that camp because not just of that verse, but theologically because of its correlation with the other scriptures that we've read. I think that is a prevailing factor when it comes to interpreting an unclear text. when you are unclear about a text, make sure that you look for any clear texts on the same subject. And with respect to timing, we've found clear texts that indicate that the time of conversion is also the time of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and this sealing that takes place. And so in this verse, because he talks about having believed, that's when we're converted, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it says, we were sealed. Now, the one is participial, and its temporal aspect merely means it's been done. It's already been done. You've believed. But then when it says, you were sealed, I think it's proximity and the fact that the word were sealed is the prevailing or the time important verb. It's the primary verb of the verse. And all other verbial action verbs or action words are relative to that verb. I think it implies that it's at the same time. Now here's what Greek won't do for you. I thought it would answer every question I ever had about the Bible or ever would have about the Bible, but it doesn't. I'm going to say it. It answers some. But it confuses a lot more than it answers. And it's absolutely important that you understand a text exegetically. That is, what is said and what is meant by what is said. That's the body of exegesis. What is actually said, and then what is meant by what is said. But that's not all there is to interpreting a passage of Scripture. It is also necessary to interpret a passage of Scripture theologically. That is, in harmony with the rest of Scripture. If your interpretation of a verse based upon its exegesis seems to conflict with other clear passages of Scripture, theology is your answer. What is clear prevails over what is unclear, plain and simple. And in this case, there's clear teaching that the sealing, this sealing that occurs in a believer's life in which the Holy Spirit is involved, takes place at the same time as conversion. Now, to the stickier wicket in the basket, and that is, who is the agent? Who is the agent or agents of sealing? Now I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. People do the action. People do something. That makes them the subject. What they do is the predicate or the verb. On whom or to whom they do it is the object. And in this case, Greek, which doesn't depend on word order like it does so often in English, it depends on word form. We know what the subject is, the one doing the action. Look at verse 21. And it is, what does it say? God. It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us And, you see that? Some translations have also, but the Greek conjunction is kai, translated more often than not, and. But even if it was also, it's a continuation. All of this is a continuation of what God is doing. He is establishing us in Christ Jesus. He has anointed us. And who has put whose seal? His seal. Who's he? Put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Because the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. He's the guarantee. We often call this the sealing of the Holy Spirit. As if the Holy Spirit is the agent doing the sealing. Now, I have to laugh here. Because sometimes we forget God is three persons. God is three persons. He's Father, He's Son, He's Holy Spirit. And when we read the word God, what do we immediately think? We think Father, don't we? And I think it's justifiable in this verse, particularly. Because in this verse, all three persons of the Godhead are named. God, Christ, Spirit. So if someone asks you, who seals you? Who seals you? Anyone? God. God. Now, is the Holy Spirit involved?
Yes.
In what way? He's the guarantee. He's the guarantee. Now, if you've ever had to go make a loan or get a loan, you may have been asked for a down payment. Or if you wanted to buy a house, you may have been asked to put up earnest money to show you were serious about it. Am I mistaken? Yeah, most people don't walk into a house and pay cash. Some do. God bless them. But most of us have to promise. We have to guarantee. We're going to pay this out. And we have to show how serious we are with earnest money. Or with a down payment, or both. Now that word regarding the Holy Spirit can be guarantor. It can be earnest. It's both. It's either. Because they imply the same thing. But, for whom is that guarantee being made? Who is guaranteeing that salvation, that final redemption? Who is guaranteeing that final redemption? Is it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Who? What? Somebody said the answer. No. It's God, folks. It's God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're in absolute agreement. So if you say, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, that means agency. He's the one doing the sealing. No, he's not. God is. Now, I'm not talking about Father. I'm talking about God. All of God is doing the sealing. And all of them have their roles. And if you want to know what the Father's role is, He planned it all along. And go back and read Ephesians chapter 1 more thoroughly and you'll see the word chose and election all in that chapter. But we don't need to get off into that tonight. I think I've done a pretty good job avoiding it. Now, if I jumped in an Uber, I called or text, got on my phone, and I scheduled an Uber to come pick me up. You know what an Uber is? It's an unsafe taxi, is what it is. It's an unsafe taxi. Anyway, that Uber came to get me. Pick me up. I got in the Uber. I went to the grocery store. Now, when I'm at the grocery store, I run into one of you in the store, and you say, "How'd you get here?" I don't know why you would say that. You may know how I drive, and you may decide I don't want to drive that way. I want to avoid the way he came. And I say, "An Uber brought me." An Uber? What's an Uber? Isn't it a car? Or an SUV? Something like that? Couldn't I also say, "A car brought me here. I got here by a car," even though I wasn't driving it. You might think I was driving it, but a car did the movement from there to there. In the same way, we have an issue of agency. Somehow, I was involved in it. I had to call an Uber. Somehow, an Uber, whatever they are, I don't know how they do it. They've got some kind of channel. And a message goes out to an Uber driver. Somebody near you needs to go somewhere also near you. Can you be there quickly? And they take the call. They confirm. And they come and they pick me up. But a car moves me. You see how multiple agencies are involved? If I'd never called them, I'd still be sitting at home. If the Uber driver didn't respond, I'd still be sitting at home. If the car didn't run, I'd still be sitting at home. In the same way, we have sort of an image or picture of God and His involvement, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, His involvement in our being guaranteed or being sealed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, I think we find the answer to the next issue, and that's the duration of sealing. Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, let me explain the sealing very quickly. It's not like being vacuum sealed. It's not like that. That's not what this sealing is. It's not a ball that comes around you and closes you in. That's not what this sealing is. This is a word that indicates ownership. Do you put your name on things? Well, if you bring them to the church, you better put your name on things. By the way, if you've lost a Bible, I know where it is. Every Sunday, we collect a new Bible. I've preached out of some of your Bibles. So you know. If you've got a better Bible than I've got and you leave it, I'm going to use it. If you need it back and you see me using your Bible, come get it. Put your name in your Bible, people. Put your name in your Bible. Claim it. Because that's what God does on you. That's your seal. His name is on you. He owns you. Who? Father, Son, Spirit. They claim ownership. And the duration of that ownership is until the day of redemption. Now there it's talking about the resurrection, the final resurrection for believers. I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know that. Because that brings me to the last issue, and that is the ramifications of the sealing with which the Holy Spirit is involved. If you've learned anything tonight, I hope you've learned this. You were sealed by God. One of His agents may well have been the Holy Spirit. But God is the agent. Not Father, not Son, not Spirit. God, the one God that there is. He is the agent. But what are the ramifications? What's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you the big deal. There are two things. One is security. We can be certain. When God has sealed us, He possesses us. He owns us. We are His. Secondly, that means we're secure. We're secure. Our salvation is secure. And it's made so by sealing us. We are His. And we are His partly by the world of the Holy Spirit, but all of God is involved. And He intends to keep it that way until our salvation is complete. Did you know you're not as saved as you're ever going to be? But it's guaranteed. If you're having your best life now, you're not saved. Okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. Maybe I can write a book on that. Sell millions. This salvation is complete. When our full redemption takes place, when we are released, resurrected, given a new body, our spirit meets with a new body, it's complete. It's done. And that creates eternity for us. I've got to tell you something. I did a funeral yesterday for a charter member of this church. We don't have a lot of them around anymore. In fact, he was a member of this church before this church was this church. This church is a formation of two churches. A church named Manor Baptist Church decided to plant a mission down there where Fellowship Church is. Do you know where that is? Right in Hill. It's in Hill Country Village. That was our original location. But the name of that church was Northgate Baptist Church because of the north. I mean, it was the farthest thing out here. at that time in 19, in, well, whenever Northgate formed, I don't know the exact date of that. Well, another church started a little farther out. It started at a place called the Canyon Creek Country Club. If you don't know where the Canyon Creek Country Club is, that's because it's not there. It folded and was bought by Sonterra Country Club. And that Canyon Creek Country Club rented their space to a group of believers who decided to try to plant a church up here, on a two-lane road called Anderson Loop. Nobody hardly used it. It's pretty forward-thinking. Well, the rent got pretty expensive, and they were looking for a place they could go that wasn't so expensive. So they contacted the pastor at Northgate, the new church down there. Reckon they'll let us meet when they're not meeting. And the Northgate church said, come on, meet here. Well, time went by, and this member was a member of the church that planted Northgate. I mean, he goes back, folks. He goes back to Manor Baptist Church, which is still here somewhere. I don't know where it's located, but it's still here. Anyway, and out of that, the pastor at Northgate left. They were needing a pastor. And somebody said, well, there's a pastor meeting here every Sunday afternoon. Maybe he'll be our pastor. And so they approached Dr. John Barbie about being their pastor. And he said, well, I can't do that. I'm pastor of church. But if we join together, we can do it. And so the Northgate Baptist Church and the Canyon Creek Mission started all over in 1965, and they called themselves Park Hills. It's not even a word, folks. That's not even a word. But it's named for Hill Country Village, because that's the city limits that Northgate was in. That was the city limits. Fellowship Church down there is still in the city of Hill Country Village. And it was named for Hollywood Park, because that's where Canyon Creek Mission was located. It was in Hollywood Park. And they named it Park Hills Baptist Church to honor both groups. And in 1985, the church relocated here. I'm telling you all that to tell you this. Eddie Reed, who went home to be with the Lord at the age of 101, is reunited with Dottie. But I don't even think that matters. What matters is he's seeing his redemption finished. The second ramification of the sealing of the Holy Spirit is purity. Purity. My father-in-law used to say in sermons, I've heard him say it a couple of times, but it stuck. You know, if you preach out of a King James Bible, he's not the Holy Spirit. What is he? He's the Holy Ghost. Dr. Rogers used to say, when you become a child of God, the Holy Ghost becomes the holy guest in your life. We don't think about that very much, folks. Let me tell you how I know we don't think about that very much. We don't think about it very much because we continue to sin. We continue to sin. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Simple. Sin. You're walking around with God in you. Yes, I said God. God the Holy Spirit in you. And when you sin, He has to see it, experience it, feel it, hear it, smell it. He's there. If we thought about the resident King of glory in us, I believe it would have an impact on us. I want you to look again at Ephesians 4. Context matters. We've just pulled a couple of verses out of Ephesians 4, and I'm not going to preach a sermon on it, I promise you, but I just want you to see the context. Because I believe he's talking about this from the standpoint of urging Christian purity because of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. He says, verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you see the connection? You see the connection? It has to do with, he's addressing sin. And frankly, he's addressing sin of the tongue more than anything else. Preacher was preaching one Sunday and he was preaching on gossip. And he hammered it. He gave the invitation, and the worst gossip in the church walked down the aisle. He thought, what in the world? She came up to him and she said, Pastor, I need to put my tongue on the altar today. He said, ma'am, you may have to fold it in half. But we can get it all on there. Do you notice how easy it is to talk down on someone, talk them down, say bad things about them, or just imply them? That ought to sting you. That ought to hurt you. Because it has hurt the Holy Spirit. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. That's one of His jobs. What breaks my heart is we become so familiar with annihilating people with our tongue that we don't even notice it when we do it. It's so commonplace. But that Holy Spirit, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she called me. We had seen her the day we were coming home, which was the day before New Year's Eve. We came home, and we went by her house, and She said something. She'd visited with us up at our place, our farm, and we had the gathering there, you know, and she said something about one of the people that was there. It wasn't ugly. I understood. This person she was talking about is a little bit strange. We all know it. But she said something like that. That's an odd bird, an odd duck, something like that. I didn't even hear it. I know she said it, but she called me on New Year's Eve the next day. And she said, I've got to apologize because of what I said. I knew it as soon as I said it. And all I could think was, God, make me that sensitive. Maybe I won't say it. Maybe I won't say it. But I'll just maintain the ear to hear what the Spirit says. You with me? That, my folks, my friends, is all I know about the ceiling. But I know more than a lifetime can let me apply. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your complete work of salvation. You save us from the condemnation that's on us. You've saved us from the destiny that awaits us. You saved us from the devil. But you just keep on saving us. You try to save us from ourselves. Because you live within us through the Spirit of God. Because His presence in our life is the seal of your ownership. So, Father, make us sensitive to how easily we can contradict who owns us by what we say, do, think. In Jesus' name we pray. If I knew how to sing it, I'd sing a hymn. I'd sing Saved by His Power Divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet. And my joy is complete. Because I'm saved. 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 Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.